And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Hey there, Nerd Clan. This episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com, your one-stop shop for all things beauty and skincare. Speaking of skincare, my brand new eye cream launched this month in August. And for those of you who are a podcast listener of ours, you get to have it at 15% off this month only. Go to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. But if you do have any other needs, I would love to help you on out. Just search the hashtag MinuteWithMary. You can request to join my marvelous VIP group. It's completely free, and I share tips and tricks there as well as some other deals. But to this month, the big deal, of course, is the eye cream. 15% off. Just head on over to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. Hello, everybody, and from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and your time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Sure is.
And I feel like I would have died at the part with Fluffy, even though, like, because I can't play music.
Oh,
I can't do it.
I thought of fear.
They'd be like, yeah, hey, Blake, why don't you play me a tune, Satchmo? And I would have been like that kid in Outside Providence.
Sing me a song.
You know, I would have been like, yeah, sure. And it would have just angered the dog and we all would have died. That would have been it.
I'm trying to think of where I might have gotten stuck. Those of you who are joining us live in the comments, let us know where would have given you the most difficulty in these tasks. I think I would have been okay with the dog. And I think I would have been okay with the devil's snare. I honestly think it would have been catching the key. That would have been the most difficult for me. I have terrible depth perception.
It's not terrible. It's the worst depth perception on the planet.
Seriously, guys. I would not do well.
You should see when Mary parallel parks.
Oof.
It's the worst.
Luckily, I have
She just parks in the middle of the road.
I do. I have this like beeping mechanism, and it sometimes helps me.
She just pulls right up, and she goes, yeah, we're good. And it's like she didn't even move inside. It's just in the middle of the road.
Looks great.
I thought I was closer.
So today we're talking about chapter 16, Through the Trap Door. And I am so excited. This episode is jam-packed, so much action. Everything's been culminating to this moment. And one of my favorite quotes is in this chapter, and it said by Hermione Granger. She says, books and cleverness, there are more important things, friendship and bravery.
Absolutely.
And it's just so true. I mean, you get that in this book, especially for Harry. You know, his friends become his family. And yes, his braveness and that's Harry, brave and friendly, right? Yeah. In a nutshell.
Well, and that's one of the things I think that this book really drives home, one of those themes. What is bravery and what is friendliness? What are relationships? How do these relationships form when you're so young? And how do your personalities interact with that? And I find that the author in this book really the series in general, because when you think about how Voldemort is defeated, it's because of love. It's because
all you need.
It's because of friendliness and friendship and sacrifice, all the things that he doesn't have. So mm-hmm. I would say not only is it in this book, but I think it's a theme that runs throughout the entire series, especially in this book when it comes to bravery and friendship.
Agreed. All right. Well, let's get into this episode.
Yep, absolutely. Remember, everybody, go to maryandblake.com. Check us out. Mary and Blake, all the social medias while you're over there. And talk about that for a little bit. What? You're pointing at something.
The Google Doc. I want to be able to see what you're doing. Oh, okay.
We do the same thing every time, Marvin. Every time. Yep. Every time, Pinky.
So if you haven't been to MerriamBlake.com, now's the time to check that on out. We, of course, are talking about Potter now, but we've talked about a slew of other movies and shows and books. And of course, if this brings you joy, if this brings a little lumos in the nox that is otherwise known as 2020, please feel free to go to jointhenerdclan.com, otherwise known as outlandercastclan.com. But jointhenerdclan.com, for as little as $2 a month, you can contribute to keep this going. We truly appreciate your patronage there. And we're glad that we can be bringing you this content at least twice a week. All right. So let's get into the show.
There we go. Now we can do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
In this chapter, school is wrapping up. Exams are happening. They find out how to get past Fluffy because Hagrid already let that slip to somebody in a pub. And they decide to go get the Philosopher's Stone because Dumbledore is missing in action. We get to see potions, flying keys, and wizard's chests, as well as some devil's snare. And our trio ends up becoming a solo.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. The trio turns into solo.
Not Han.
Not Han Solo. Definitely not Han Solo. That scruffy nerf herder.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me just play it for... Hold on.
Nerd!
There we go. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so first we start things off, and these youngsters, these 11-year-olds, are just full into the swing of studying. Because once again, even though they're trying to defeat Voldemort, the worst, most evil wizard of all time, they're still students. Don't you ever feel like that? Did you ever feel like that in school where you had other stuff going on in your life, whether it was relationships of a burgeoning love, or maybe you had a spat with a friend, or maybe you had issues going on at work or with your parents, and yet you were still expected to show up and study for school?
Yes, absolutely. It happened
all
the time.
Didn't that stink?
Yeah, it sucks.
And you try to focus, and you try to study, and you try to be present, but all you're thinking about is... XYZ issue that a decade later you don't remember.
No.
So you really should have just been studying. Speaking yeah. personally, that's how I'm able to
rationalize it.
It's not like I was fighting Voldemort.
There's a lot of things that happen when you're a teenager that you think or younger that yeah. are super important, and they're just not. But none of them are for Voldemort. So we're okay there. We're all right there. One thing that kind of bothers me about this, and I need to talk to you
okay,
about this.
Please. I'm ready.
Dumbledore,
book in hand.
Dumbledore's absence.
Oh, you're skipping over all of the studies.
Oh,
I thought you wanted to talk about the exams and the different things they had to do with the teachers.
No,
obviously, that doesn't matter.
For nerds.
That doesn't
for nerds.
Matter. Who cares about the werewolf conduct? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, really. they have all the tests and
Harry's scar hurts and he keeps having nightmares.
Well, I will say this. The fact that Harry immediately comes out to Hermione and says, "I don't care." What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like if Voldemort gets the Sorcerer's Stone, there's not going to be a Hogwarts
this doesn't
left.
Matter.
Hey, who cares about house points and all this? And I love that because it is such great foreshadowing, not only for Harry, but for the rest of them. Hermione's whole arc throughout the series is letting go of those things that she finds are super important, but mm-hmm. really are kind of trivial. It roots itself in breaking the rules and trying to stay the course and stay studious and all that other stuff. But you see her come out of that phase a little bit each time, each book, each film.
I mean, even eventually, the seventh book, her seventh year, pretty much her senior year of school,
right.
She skips.
She leaves. That's it. It
Bye.
Shows. Yeah. And that, when you start one way.
There's the Gryffindor.
And then you end a completely other way. That is a character arc.
Yes.
That is a valid arc for all of us to read. But
so.
I like that. I love that Harry says this. And even Hermione kind of gives in. Well, not kind of, but she does give in here. And I love what she says. Come off it. Do you think we're going to let you go alone? There's no way we're going to let you go alone. We're here. We're going to do this.
Another person that is with them in this process is Hagrid. So finally it dawns on Harry that something was really odd about how Hagrid got that dragon egg. So they go and they ask him a little bit more about how he was able to get Norbert the dragon egg. And he explains to them that it's totally okay. You know, I told them that all you have to do is, you know, I'm used to crazy big wild creatures. I know how to put Fluffy to sleep. Just a little bit of music.
This is why you don't trust Hagrid with anything. Nothing. Not one iota. Not even a pair of socks. Sorry. Wouldn't do it.
This is when he does say, I shouldn't have told you that. Forget about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. We're just going to forget about that.
But they're immediately like, okay, enough is enough. The situation has got really extreme. And we need to go tell Dumbledore. Now we can land the plane.
Right. So that a girl.
Land the plane, Helen.
I feel almost cheated by this.
Tell me.
I just feel,
I can't wait to delve into this one with you.
I feel
my inner Potter nerd is really gonna come out.
I know. Well, like here are two ways that this is gonna go down. One, he leaves on purpose to make sure that Harry goes under this path. Two, actually, there are three ways. Two, Quirrell writes the letter.
That's what I think.
And sends Dumbledore off to the Ministry of Magic. Yes. But, I mean, like, come on, man. Like, really?
What?
You really feel like Dumbledore would just hop to at the first sight of the Ministry of Magic?
I mean, he didn't actually hop to. If he hopped to, he would have evaporated or used the flu network.
Yeah, but either way, he's still gone.
It said he flew, which technically must mean that he jumped on a thestral.
But either way, right? Either way, he's still gone.
I can't
gone.
Picture him on a broom.
I can't picture him
he on totally a broom. He totally would ride a thestral.
He's one bad man.
He sure is. One tough cookie.
So, and like, it's so fabulous, too, to just run around on a thestral. Like, how cool would that be, man? But either way, he just tells them that I'm leaving and just hides out in his closet or something. Like, who knows? Like, I find like it's lazy writing, to be honest.
I see it as Quirrell. So mind you, we learn, gosh, right in the beginning when Harry is meeting Hagrid, that the Ministry of Magic is writing to Dumbledore all the time. Like, they're nonstop bothering him. Hagrid even brings it up. So it's enough that Dumbledore has vented to Hagrid, like, the ministry always needs my help. My goodness gracious, he's always being called to them. So for him to have gotten something 10 minutes ago, he got an owl or he left 10 minutes ago, I think it's just too perfect of timing, which leads me to believe that smart Quirrell, who would have known that Dumbledore has been asked by the ministry to come all year, because all of the staff probably have to hear about it in the teacher's room. You know that he's sitting there trying to knit and have his tea and maybe a lemon sherbet, possibly. And an
listen
owl
to
comes
some chamber
in.
Music, you know?
Seriously, he's just there and he's like, oh my God, another owl from the ministry. So Quirrell easily could just have given him an owl to get him out.
Are you telling me he can't tell the difference between Quirrell and the real Ministry of Magic?
That's what I'm thinking. And yes, I don't think he would have known the difference. I think he would have been like another one. Like, think about it. If you had gotten a million messages in a year, you wouldn't have been like, let me analyze how they made their J.
But
they wouldn't.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm buying this. It just feels like lazy writing. There's too much to glean from the text. There's not enough to glean from the text to suggest that it was done on purpose. So I feel like it's just, we need to have Dumbledore out of the school.
Then, of course, the kids explain why to Professor McGonagall. She's like, why do you need him so badly? I mean, he's kind of at a big deal. He's in the Ministry of Magic, little ones. And they say, we know about the stone. And she says he won't be back until tomorrow. And she's like, what are you doing talking about the stone? I think you should just all go back outside, enjoy the sunshine. It's fine. And he even tells McGonagall, Snape is trying to get it. He sent that note. I bet the Ministry of Magic will get a real shock when Dumbledore turns up.
Why does McGonagall not have more faith in Harry when he mentions to her the Sorcerer's Stone? I know it's here, guy. I know it's here. There's no way.
Oh, no. He says that to Snape bit just to the trio. Professor McGonagall is out of earshot.
Yeah, but either way, whatever. Who cares?
Except Snape pretty much hears him.
Yeah.
Because he's right there.
But before we get into Snape, because I love...
You shouldn't be inside on a day like this.
Let me ask my question first, because I love that interaction with
Snape.
How does McGonagall not believe them more? He knows, and he says it about the Sorcerer's Stone. She's like, yeah, so what?
You want to know how?
Why?
Because it's probably May, okay? And these kids are almost out of her hair. She's done. She is D-O-N.
D-U-N. She's that done.
Whatever. She is so done. She's like, get out of here, guys. No, no, no. Please leave. I don't know how. She probably, you know what it is? She knows they hang out with Hagrid. She probably realizes he slipped.
Oh, that he's slipping. Yeah. Details are slipping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she knows.
Yeah. So she's just like, please just go outside / leave early. Like, Can't this beautiful castle just go back to being quiet?
And there is evidence, I think, that would suggest that McGonagall does look down on Hagrid, because she says to Dumbledore at the very beginning of this book, are you sure you should be trusting him?
Yes.
With saving a child's life? So yeah, I think you might be right there, Marvin. You might have something there.
Snape, however, is right there.
Oh, this is great.
And he says, good afternoon, he said smoothly. Or, yeah. And
do
they
your
look
best
at
Rickman
him.
Voice. Come
oh,
on.
Oh, gosh. I'm terrible at him.
Good afternoon.
You shouldn't be inside on a day like this, he said with an odd, twisted smile. Why does he have an odd, twisted smile?
Because he's Snape, and that's what he does.
I think
he
he's actually trying to be nice. And it's so hard for him to smile because he hasn't done it.
It's kind of like Toothless when he forces a smile. All I could think of now is Toothless and Alan Rickman together smile.
Yes. / maybe he wants them out of here so he can go chase after Quirrell. Oh, and he says, you want to be more careful, said Snape. Hanging around like this, people will think you're up to something. And Gryffindor really can't afford to lose any more points, can it? Be warned, Potter. Any more nighttime wanderings, and I will personally make sure you are expelled. Good day to you.
It's so threatening and so damn like, what?
You can't even say that word.
I can't say that word
nope.
either?
No.
Oh my goodness gracious. Okay. It's just so nefarious. That's
pretend my mom listens to this.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Fair enough. It's just so menacing. I love how Snape interacts with these kids, and right from there you get the sense from Harry's perspective, because we're obviously in Harry's POV, that Snape is planning something, that he is trying to tell them, stay out of my stuff. But we all know that is not the case. And again, it goes to show you the kind of unreliable kind of perspective that we're getting from Harry.
Agreed.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so at least they get there. They go. They say, we can't handle this. We can't trust any of these professors. That's it. Voldemort killed my parents. We're taking this seriously. Like Hermione and Ron are trying to talk Harry out of this. And this is one of the things that I think is really important is he's telling them like, yes, we tried, but Snape's all over this. He's going to take the stone. And Ron says, you're mad. And Hermione says, you can't, you'll be expelled. And Harry says, so what? Don't you understand? If Snape gets a hold of the stone, Voldemort's coming back. Haven't you heard what it's like when he was trying to take over? There won't be any Hogwarts to get expelled from. He'll flatten it or turn it into a school for the dark arts. Losing points doesn't matter anymore. Can't you see? Do you think he'll leave you and your families alone if Gryffindor wins the House Cup? If I get caught before I get the stone, well, I'll have to go back to the Dursleys and wait for Voldemort to find me there. It's only dying a bit later than I would have, but because I'm never going to the dark side. I'm going through that trapdoor tonight, and nothing you two say is going to stop me. Voldemort killed my parents, remember? And then right away, Hermione's like, you're right.
Yep, we got to do this.
Okay.
And she makes this comment like, Flitwick told me in secret that I got 112% on his exam. They're not throwing me out after that. Why is she so confident with that? What do you think?
Because she knows. She knows she's the smartest witch. So she's got a little bit of an edge.
So, and she does have an edge because what she does is Petrificus Totalus, poor old Neville. Poor old Neville, man. All he wants to do is just be like, it, like not in trouble. And all he does is get in trouble with these three.
I just love Hermione because she speaks to him almost like we speak to our children. Why don't you go back to bed?
Yeah.
We actually did that 5 minutes before we recorded this episode.
That's
why don't you
true.
Go back to bed, little Puddin? Okay, please, please.
Get in there. You'll be fine.
And Neville tries. And he's like, Gryffindor is going to be even in more trouble. And this is when Neville really stands up. This is a truly remarkable thing for Neville. Is he was waiting there, clutching Trevor. Like, just there he is. First off, I love that he has Trevor. Just but makes me happy whenever Trevor's with him.
And here's something that happens, too. Trevor has been something that Neville has chased mm-hmm. all story.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment we met Neville, he was chasing after Trevor. Trevor was his goal. That was his thing that was keeping him. That was what his focus was. And he has Trevor in his hands at this moment. And he lets Trevor go. He lets him go and says it doesn't matter anymore. What matters now is me stopping these three.
He will even fight them. Neville Longbottom says that he's going to fight this trio. And Ron calls him an idiot.
Yep.
And he says, don't you call me an idiot. I don't think you should be breaking any more rules. And you were the one who told me to stand up to people. And how amazing is that?
Right.
To like say, no, I know that I'm not an idiot. I know that I'm doing the right thing because you guys actually taught me that. And I'm now ready to do that against you guys.
Yeah. And Ron comes back with the best Ron answer possible. Yeah, but not to us. Don't stand up to
that
us.
That's so Ron.
Oh, man. And
I just love Neville so much. So and sadly, Petrificus Totalus.
And Hermione apologizes. Like, Neville, I'm so sorry. I don't want to do this to you.
It's the bless his heart. Bless your little heart, but Petrificus Totalus.
Gives him a full body bind. That's the end. Goodbye. And then Ron suggests they actually kick Mrs. Norris. Let's just kick her. Can we just kick her?
And Peeves is there. Now, Peeves, I've talked about it before. I miss Peeves from the movies. I understand that they couldn't fit him in. But there he is.
I'm out on this whole interaction.
Why?
Because Harry is making up a voice from the Bloody Baron. Peeves knows what the Bloody Baron sounds like. Come on, man. Get out of here with that.
Maybe Harry's really good.
It'd be like you trying to impersonate me.
It'd be like you trying to impersonate me.
Yeah, but it's different.
I don't know.
It's different. You know it's different.
Well, Ron says it's brilliant, so maybe Harry has another skill set of imitating voices that we don't appreciate or know.
Oh, man.
So there they go. They're running. He gets his flute out. Such a perfect Christmas gift, Hagrid.
Mm-hmm. And I love the symmetry here, the symmetry of Harry getting this gift from Hagrid, mm-hmm. something that happens in the beginning of the book or, you know, towards the middle, you know, third-ish of the book. And here it comes back to play an integral role in solving what is happening here. And it's not quite a bookend, but it might as well be a good bookend. And I love me. That is a Mary and Blake Media commandment.
Oh, bookend.
Always give me a good bookend.
So he plays the flute. They jump on in. And they land on something where they go past this cold, damp air. And I loved this word that the author used, flump, F-L-U-M-P, flump. With a funny, muffled sort of thump, he landed on something soft. Flump. Like, just say it. Just say it. Like, even if you're watching flump. This by yourself, flump.
Flump.
You can't help but smile. It's almost like a Dr. Seuss kind of word.
Yes.
A flump. And, like a character.
You know, and we there is... a test here for the trio, as it already is. I mean, the first test clearly is getting to see Fluffy, and first test is knowing where the door is, right? Mm-hmm. The second test is Fluffy, and mm-hmm. the third test is having the guts and the bravery to just go down this hole with no indication of where the end is, no indication of any way down or back up. you're just going down this hole, and that's that. And you have to overcome that fear.
I don't think I'd be brave enough to do that. I'll be real.
I would have been dead already, so it wouldn't have mattered.
You're right. You wouldn't have gone past Fluffy. So, of course, they end up in Devil's Snare. And the boys, of course, didn't really know that much about it, but she managed herself. And she, of course, remembered from Professor Sprout how to take care of it. This is when Ron, though, like, yells at her. Like, because she's like, oh, we need to set a fire. And he's like, have you gone mad? Are you a witch or not? Because she's saying, I can't make a fire. There's no wood. Oh, right. And then she, of course, makes the same flame that she had used to spook Snape back at the Quidditch match when he was trying to stop the curse that Quirrell was doing. But
Ron is great because he does have this great sense of timing. And the author gives him this great comedic lines when Harry says, lucky you pay attention to herbology, Hermione, said Harry as she joined her by the wall, wiping sweat off of his face. Yeah, said Ron. And lucky Harry doesn't lose his head in a crisis. There's no wood.
Honestly.
There's no wood. Yeah. GTFO.
But mind you, he's wizard his entire life. So I can give Hermione a break. She's just been a witch for, 10 months. One of the cool parts that I wanted to bring out was they could hear, apart from their footsteps, was a gentle drip of water trickling down the walls. The passageway sloped downward, and Harry was reminded of Gringotts. With an unpleasant jolt of his heart, he remembered the dragons said to be guarding vaults in the Wizard's Bank. If they met a dragon, a fully grown dragon, Norbert had been bad enough. And I just love that this reminds him of Gringotts. Mm-hmm. And he gets this intense fear of what would it be like to see a fully grown dragon. And of course, Harry gets involved with dragons a couple of times later on this series.
Right, right.
And he, of course, his bravery is able to get him through that. And they actually end up helping him, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So we keep going down and we get to, where are we next? We have...
They go to the Keys.
The Keys. This is where Mary would really fall apart. She would fall apart here.
Yes. So they can't get out of the door. The Keys remind them of birds. They all three have to climb on these broomsticks. And Ron is the one that figures out what the key is probably going to have to look like. He says it's a big old fashioned one, probably silver like the handle. Mm-hmm. So they go on the broomstick and they're searching for everything. But of course, because of Harry's amazing ability, which has come to be of great use as a seeker, he's able to see it. And together, they have to kind of corral. I could just picture like cowboys trying to corral some some cows as they're trying to get this key. And what is very interesting to me is I keep trying to figure out, did Quirrell repeatedly go through these tasks? Like, did he keep trying? Did he make it past Fluffy and get stuck in the Devil's Snare? Or did he know how to get through that? And then when he got to this bit right here with the flying keys, was he able to get the flying key quickly? Was he good on a broom? Did he have a special spell? Because mind you, this is a Ravenclaw and this is a professor with Voldemort kind of controlling him a bit.
Body.
So I've always wanted to figure out, like, did he do like a little bit, over the course of time until he fully committed to being able to get through all of it, or did he just figure this all out?
My gut
fell
tells
swoop?
Me he just did it in one fell swoop.
Okay.
When you have the darkest of dark wizards on the back of your head, and you're already a pretty smart guy as it is, I feel like this is kind of simple.
Because Snape's
stuff.
Trying to tell him to stop trying to get past Fluffy.
That's a good
but
point.
He learned about how to get past Fluffy way back when Hagrid had Norbert.
And that's the thing. Why is there such a distinct difference in the timing, right? So if he figured out how to get past Fluffy that long ago, why wait all this long?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if doing this alone, if he would kind of like do it little bit by bit. If he got past Fluffy and then he got stuck in the Devil's Snare, it took him a little while to figure out what that was. And then he said, oh, okay, this is too much.
Yeah, but I feel like if he got caught in the Devil's Snare, he would have croaked.
Well, maybe he would have figured it out. But then say he got to the key thing and he was like, nope, I need to research this. And he like climbed back out and figured his way out of there. Mm. And then maybe researched it. Like I feel like maybe he was trying it bit by bit when he would get stumped.
Here's a thought. We have in the previous chapter Quirrell saying to Voldemort, please, no, not again, not again. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Perhaps he had to wait for Voldemort to get a certain amount of vitality.
Unicorn blood?
Yeah. Like, there had to be a certain amount of vitality. There had to be a certain amount of life within, or for the lack of a better term, power.
That would make sense.
So he had to wait in order for, like, you know, Voldemort to get his mushroom and one up. And then when he does, then he can finally make his move. And that's that. The logic there would make sense and why it took that long.
Because aside from that, this is something that 11-year-olds crack, you know, and Quirrell, being a Ravenclaw, would have been able to figure all of this out. As I said, I think the only tricky thing would have been for him to get past Fluffy, which he knew the answer to, and then also the keys, because that has a bit of an athletic bit to it, unless he could do some kind of a cool spell. Aside from that, I do believe he would have known how to figure out Devil's Snare. I do believe he would have figured out the chess game, as I feel like Ravenclaws probably are excellent at chess.
Sure.
And I feel like he would have figured out Snape's riddle. So...
he definitely would have done that.
You're
and he
right.
already
maybe,
he already knew the troll.
And maybe because
the troll was his.
So maybe you're right. Maybe he was just waiting until Voldemort was strong enough.
Right.
And then he was ready.
Because it would
to
make
pounce.
Sense that he had to go and get the unicorn blood like a number of times, so much so that he's like, no, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yep. And this was his big chance. He wrote that fake letter to get Dumbledore out of the building, and they're good to go. So they get the key.
Wait, here's a thought. Yeah. Here's a thought. Does Dumbledore fake his absence to get Harry on the path to get him to, because we know what's coming, right? We know that the Mirror of Erised is coming.
Yes.
Does Dumbledore fake it knowing that Harry is going to run into the Mirror of Erised and that he cannot rely on Dumbledore to make these choices? Harry has to choose his own path.
If you're on the I'm not a huge fan of Dumbledore train, choo choo, that's the stance you'll take.
Why would you have to not be a fan of Dumbledore to take that stance?
Because why is he letting these 11-year-olds potentially die in this pit with Devil's Snare and poisons? Like, literally, they could have had poison in their belly and Madame Pomfrey's nowhere in sight, and they're facing Voldemort. I think if Dumbledore pretended to be gone, then I think that's very cruel of him to do to 11-year-olds.
Because, and here's some more evidence to suggest that maybe he did pretend to be gone. He gives Harry the cloak back and says, just in case. Like, it's with a wink, man. It's a wink and a nod. Yeah, just in case. Yeah, I know what's coming. So you're going to need it.
I mean, as I've told you, I've been very conflicted during this read through on how much Dumbledore is using Harry as a pawn himself. You know, as the bait to get Voldemort out. In my heart, I would hope that Dumbledore was truly gone because he thought he was being called to the Ministry of Magic.
Sure, sure.
But if he's really letting Harry wade into these waters, knowing that potential death could happen, because remember, only one can be alive. So maybe he's doing this thinking Harry will end him. Because Voldemort isn't necessarily alive in this form. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm very conflicted. Dumbledore conflicts my heart.
And there's also like this... All right. So I don't mean to get religious about all of this, right? But here's something. Someone, you'll talk to someone about God and they'll say, you say, well, why does God do this? And a person who is very religious will more than likely say, because, well, God doesn't need a reason. He or it or whatever just does things. And they're in the God is in full control all the time. I have that same complex here. Like, why does Dumbledore need a reason to do any of this? Because he doesn't. He just does. And there's a complex of knowing how much Dumbledore really knows and how much of this is engineered. How much of this is architected by Dumbledore? And if that's really the case, how much freedom does Harry have within that architecture?
Well, here's my thing, is that where's Snape during all of this? Because if Dumbledore has tasked Snape to watch Harry, why isn't Snape like hiding somewhere ready to save him?
Well, perhaps Snape thinks that... He told them, hey, you better not come around here no more.
Because Dumbledore really keeps Snape out of the loop. I mean, if he tasked, and maybe because he doesn't truly believe Snape all the way, because he tasked him with protecting him, yet he doesn't tell him, oh, just so you know.
No, I don't know. I can't say
Harry
that.
Harry has an invisibility cloak.
I can't say that Dumbledore doesn't trust Snape, because we know through
everything.
But we know through Snape's memories how desperate he was, and he agreed to do it.
Then why wouldn't he have said, "Hey, Harry has an invisibility cloak. Quirrell's acting really weird. Can you please just like hyper monitor?" And maybe that's what Snape was doing.
Here's the easy answer. Because Dumbledore knows that Harry has to go on this path, and he cannot be stopped by Snape. He cannot be stopped by McGonagall. He has to make this journey. This is the journey to Mount Doom, mm-hmm. right? For you Lord of the Rings nerds. That journey has to happen because of the growth that will happen. And again, the text suggests that this is the case, because all of a sudden the Mirror of Erised is over here.
Yeah. Well, that's Dumbledore's.
Yeah, and knowing that Harry had this encounter with the Mirror of Erised.
Yes.
Like, come on, man.
So basically, Dumbledore is hiding. I don't know. Maybe he's taking a swim with the mermaids in the lake right now.
He's hanging out with Fox somewhere.
And he's got his earphones in.
Yeah.
And he's literally listening to Kelly Clarkson. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's what he's doing.
Kelly Clarkson.
Maybe he's actually just in the kitchen. He's got his Bose headphones on. Let's have that. So he's just eating cake.
The noise canceling.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
And he's dancing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And Fox is flying. And Fox knows. Fox like, listen, if he really needs our help, you know, yeah. I'll go.
And
I'll check him out.
There's a note on the door that says BRB, you know, and McGonagall's knocking on the door and he can't hear nothing because he's got his bows on.
Maybe all of this time, maybe he's actually not getting messages from the ministry ever. That's just his secret way of sneaking to the kitchens to eat cake.
Oh, look at that. I got another message.
Me and Kelly, I mean, Fudge.
We've got a date.
Makes me wanna shout. You and your falsetto kills me. Okay, can we move to chess?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. So Dumbledore knows, and he's sitting in the kitchens listening to Kelly Clarkson, and he knows that these kids know how to get through everything.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson!
I mean, you're going to have to get that soundbite, because I'm going to find Kelly Clarkson songs that now go along with all of these Dumbledore things.
Oh, absolutely.
give me one. That's a different name. What was that ballad that came out when it was her like American Idol breakthrough?
Oh, I have no idea.
Is it One Moment in Time? Da, na, 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 na. Is that it?
I have no idea, Marvin.
Blake, where are you with your pop references to the early 2000s? You're letting me down. So they play chess. And thank goodness that Ron gets to have his moment. You know, in so many of the movies, I feel like the Ron heroic moments, the moments that paint Ron in a good light, did not make it. You know, Ron became the humorous person, the one that gave us the insight into the Wizarding World.
Everybody on the chats are saying a moment like this.
Yes.
Yes, that's what it is.
Right? Oh, a moment like this. Is that how it goes? Or am I singing something different? Some people wait a lifetime. Oh, see, I already know. Okay,
that'll... moment like this.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, oh, some sorry, that's a Mary and Blake commandment. Yes. I can't sing.
Okay, thank you. That will come into play at some point. So we get, of course, the wizard's chess, and Ron just automatically takes the lead, the kids even say, like, Ron's better at us than this. And it's something that's pretty cute because they compliment each other frequently in this. Yeah. You know, they compliment each other about Hermione being so clever and about Ron being great at chess.
And I love the fact that Ron takes the role of being the knight. The knight is the person.
Actually, sorry. They do not compliment Ron. Ron actually says in pure Ron fashion, "Now don't be offended or anything, but neither of you are that good at chess." I like that I just rewrote it in my head that they were complimenting him, but really it's Ron calling out the truth. Sorry.
No, so Ron takes the mantle of being a knight. Now,
yes.
A knight is someone, is a medieval hero who does things for the sake of doing them because it is right. It is sacrificial. It is someone that has a creed. It is someone that lends his hand to his master, to his liege, and sacrifices himself for his liege. And I just find that so incredible, because Ron, for this entire time has done something that he's wanted to stand out this entire time. He wants to be the guy. Yet, he lets Harry be the guy. He sacrifices himself for Hermione and Harry to go forward. And this comes from a kid that wants to be the guy because he's always been overlooked. He's always been overlooked by his family, by his brothers, by his mother, by his father. And finally, he's got an opportunity to do something. And he says, no, I got it. I understand the value of playing a role. I understand the value of being part of something that's bigger than me. And that, too, within at least the text of this book, is a fantastic arc for Ron.
Mm-hmm. He steps forward as a knight, which doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Knights can't step forward.
No, they can't. Well,
knights,
I mean, they
make
can.
An L.
Yeah, well, in the L, you go forward. You can do one step forward.
No, he can't.
Sure, you can. You can go one step forward.
Not as knights. Knights have to do an L shape.
Yeah, so you can go one step forward in the L shape. You can go one step forward
and over
and three over, or three up and one over.
But it says he just stepped forward.
Is it stepping forward like I'm stepping forward, I'm the knight?
I'm just saying that probably is fixed in later editions.
Fair
because
enough.
Because that's not how a knight moves. But of course, you're right. He sacrificed. We move on. See you later on. We'll see you in a little bit. And then we, of course, get to Snape's trial, I guess, which is all of these different potions, which Hermione figures out. Whenever I've read this, I try to figure it out, and you can't. You can't figure out this riddle.
You don't see it.
Yeah, because you can't see the short and the tall one, so you don't know which one's of the order. And the other thing that always astounded me is that, okay, if Quirrell just went through this, of course Quirrell would have figured it out. Wouldn't he have just mixed them up? Or couldn't you, or if the one that Harry has to drink only has a little left, like why wouldn't Quirrell have just drank it all?
Because maybe he needed to come back for some particular reason.
Ooh,
you never know.
Yes.
So he left enough for him to get back one more time.
So, yeah. Okay. I dig it. So there he goes. Hermione says, you know, he tells Hermione, you need to go back.
Before we continue, yeah. I love the fact that Hermione, it takes a muggle to figure this out because
she's not a muggle.
Well, I'm sorry.
She's muggle born.
Well, you know what I mean. It takes someone who grew up in the muggle world to figure this out because the best wizards don't use logic. And that's one of the reasons why.
Oh, I dig it.
That's one of the reasons why I think Snape does this because I feel like potions is something that a lot of wizards probably have a hard time with. And because wizards just don't use logic. They don't have to use logic. They got magic. What the hell is the point? So the fact that it took Hermione to do this is really cool.
Can I give you a little insight into our lives? Our little lass, who is 5 years old, who's listened to this audiobook plenty of times, she came upstairs today devastated, or it was downstairs, it was in the living room, and she said, Mom, am I a muggle? And I was like, yes, little lass, you are. And she said, but my parents are wizards. And I just want to be wizard born.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, honey. Nerd! And I said, baby, you can be a wizard. And she said, I keep swishing my wand, seeing Wingardium Leviosa, nothing's working. I'm just a muggle. Bless her heart. Bless her plastic wand.
Man.
So Hermione, the smartest wizard of their age, knows the potions, figures out which one she has to drink to
go through the fire
to make sure that she's okay. And then Harry goes in. He walks forward.
So, hold on. Before we continue, there's something that happens here, too. The trio, you know, take the lead in their particular ways.
Yeah.
You know, Harry is the one who takes the lead in getting the key because of his Quidditch skills. Mm-hmm. Ron takes the lead in the chess because of his wizarding skills, like his knowledge of the wizarding world. Hermione takes the lead with the potions because of her logic, but also she takes the lead with the Devil's Snare because she's well read.
She pays attention.
And but it also highlights the fact that she's still not from this wizarding world. She still relies on the idea of wood to create fire.
Yes.
All of these things are coming together, and they all show how they not only benefit each other in this friendship, but that their friendship is one that is based on trust. Yeah, like they make fun of each other a little bit, and there are some great comedic moments. But for the most part, when one of them steps forward, the other two say, I trust you. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. And I believe you. Like Harry says, all right, are you sure? Are you sure that this is the one? And she says, yes. Oh, and he's like, okay, boom, done. Yep. Like I just find that remarkable in how this trio of friends grew. It grew together, and how the dynamic that the author creates for these characters complement each other in such a way that makes them viable characters.
And then we end the chapter with, there was already someone there, but it wasn't Snape. It wasn't even Voldemort. And this chapter right here, you can't not go into the next
one. No, you have to.
Like when you're reading it, you're like, oh, okay, I need to know what's going on. Yep. You're sitting there clueless on your first read. You read that last sentence and you're like, what? Yep. Is it Dumbledore?
Who is it?
Is it?
Because that would have been logical to think it could have been Dumbledore, because all of a sudden he was just gone. He was just missing. Though if you went to the next page.
His cake all over his face.
Yeah. Still got his AirPod in. Oh, man. One other thing that I really noticed about this too, about these trials, I find myself really liking the last chapter and this chapter, even though there's a lot of logic jumps and there's a lot of plot that we're just plodding through. I like it because it transitions us from the wondrous world of Harry Potter to something that's a little bit more mature, something that is a little bit more dark, something
danger
that portends bad things for our power trio, that the story of Harry Potter will be turning more mature as time goes along. And it shows it in this text from the first trial, like from the first thing, Fluffy, three-headed dog playing music. He falls asleep. Like that's cute. Yeah. Like that's wizardy and yada, yada. And then they go to the devil's snare. It's like, okay, yeah, make fire. Oh, wood, blah, blah, blah. And then it's more cutesiness with the keys and like getting the keys. And then all of a sudden things turn. They turn to the wizarding chest and Ron having to sacrifice himself. The troll that's in there that's beat up. And then all of a sudden Harry and Hermione have to do these potions that could kill them.
Yes.
And they got to walk through fire.
Yep.
And that will all lead to what we know is the Voldemort. Mm-hmm. Each sequential test gets that much harder and darker. And I find that
harder and darker.
Oh, that's going to be the new shirt. Harder and darker. Yes. 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 Yes.
Bam. Just like that. A winner.
I like it. That's what we're doing. So I just like how these things keep growing.
Whereas Anna Ashley on Facebook says you need to make a t-shirt or mask with Dumbledore with his AirPods in and Fox next to him or on his shoulder.
Oh, I'm in on that too. I'm in. Maybe some cake on there too. I'm in.
No, it just looks sloppy. Yeah, that's unless true. He's holding a piece of cake.
I could do that. I could make something like that happen. That's that. That's the end. What do you think?
Oh, different
perspective. Yes. Yeah, let's do it. What do you got?
Holy cricket, you're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Hermione Granger, for reals.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here she is. Like you were saying, I mean, this is a huge, huge step for Hermione, who came in friendless, really emotionally all set with Harry and Ron because of how they made her feel. And through these difficult situations, she's gained this bond with them and has actually come to this great understanding where, you know, she does care about her studies and she's able to help them. And yet at that Gryffindor part of her is a thirst. Mm-hmm. It's a thirst to be brave and to help people out. And as much as her desire to do well in her studies and her fear of being expelled holds her back, her desire to help Harry and help the greater good of wizards is even more so. And it really takes Harry saying, like, Voldemort killed my parents. No matter what, I'm going to get him. And that's when she and Ron, of course, say, like, oh, it snaps them back into it, that this is life or death. And I just, like you said, I think that it was very interesting that she just automatically, in her time of fear, thought of wood being necessary for fire, that is what she's known forever. So many times, those of us, when we're in pain or when we're scared, you know, we want our mom, we want things from our childhood. We want to be comforted. Maybe when we're really sick, we'll watch a movie that we knew from earlier on in life. So it's to me, it's like, of course, that's what she would think. That is her comforting. That is her old. And then the fear that she has when Ron has to sacrifice himself, this is like the first glimmering of their relationship,
You
know, that there's this admiration, but also fear for him for being hurt.
Yeah. If you squinted at it, yeah, I think you could see something that was there when he sacrifices himself. She screams, oh no, you know, the whole thing.
And she flies on a broom to try to catch this key, which flying is not something that Hermione is good at whatsoever.
Not great, Bob.
And yet when it comes down to it for this final bit,
not great, Bob. Potions,
she is so sure. And she says, brilliant. Like, she is excited. Yes, they know that they're potentially facing Voldemort. Yes, they know that a lot of these tasks could have already killed them. She's literally looking at vials that contain poison. And she says, brilliant. Because she knows it so clearly.
Yep, yep.
She knows it so clearly that she is able to tell her best friend, you can drink that one. And I have faith in you. You know what I mean? She lets Harry go. There's a lot of people that wouldn't have let him do it. You know, let's sip it half and half, or how about I just wait here for you? But she trusts her friend enough.
Yep.
And knows that he's right, that he needs to go forward.
Well, it's time for the mail. Now, we don't have any particular emails as of this moment. Nobody sent any. And that's totally fine. But I know we have a kabillion people in the live as we are talking about this. So I'm going to play the music. And this is when you guys have your opportunity to give us some questions that you have on your brain.
Oh, mail's here.
All right, so again, if you guys are, you do want to participate in the mail section of the Potterverse, you always can. Just go to your email server and just type in maryandblakemedia@gmail.com and let us know the questions that you got. Whatever it is, it's not like trivia necessarily, but it's just something that is personal, that it's just kind of dorky and you want to talk about.
For example, Blake, if you had to put a task up to stop someone from taking the Sorcerer's Stone, what would that be?
Oh, that's a good question. What would it be? I would have to make it like some trivia thing.
That's what I was thinking you were going
to
say.
I would have to be some trivia thing. Like, tell me who the 1837 Quidditch World Cup champions were.
Nice.
Like, they don't got Google. They can't figure that out. They'd be like, sorry, bro. You can't do it.
Awesome.
So it's magical.
Yeah.
It's got magic in it, but it's not like overly magic where somebody could just rely on their magic to solve it. They'd have to actually know it.
Because here's the question. Is Dumbledore and his team making it so any of them could get through it? Any of those professors? Or is it something that only Dumbledore thinks himself he can get through? I don't know. Good trivia. I thought it would be something trivia.
How about you? Do you have one that would work for you?
Mine, I think, would go along the same lines of the Goonies. I think I would have a piano of bones, and I would have some really creepily written music, and they'd have to play the music or sing, but it would have to be something musical.
Pitches of power.
You know what kills me? You want to know what kills me in the Goonies?
It's our time down here.
That's one of my favorite lines.
Sorry.
But the thing that kills me is, like, I can't tell if it's A sharp or B flat. That's the same note.
Hold on. You get another one too.
Nerd!
Go ahead.
And they would be written in completely different areas on the musical staff. She could have said, I can't tell if it's B sharp or B flat. that would have made sense on the musical staff because it's a little blurry. But to say I can't tell if it's A sharp or a B flat doesn't mean anything because it's the same note.
Oh, goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. Okay, we got some questions here coming up. Let's see. Hillary asks, which task, Mary, do you think you'd be best at?
Of the ones that were here, I think I would have been best at the troll.
But the troll's already knocked out.
Oh, well, like if he wasn't, I mean, obviously that's why I would have been best at it. No, but if it wasn't knocked out, I think I could have bested a troll.
Okay. All right. Mine would be the chess. I feel like I'd be in on the chess.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yep. For me, it's like once my adrenaline's pushing, hold on tight. I'm a Taurus.
All right. Victoria says, why does D-Man say Dumbledore say he trusts Hagrid with his life when obviously Hagrid gives away all the secrets that could cost many lives?
I think because Hagrid only talks to Harry. I think if Hagrid...
No, he talks to random dudes giving them dragon legs.
Right. You're right. I mean, Dumbledore doesn't have the best... Yeah, Harry's much better at reading people. Dumbledore isn't. Let's be real. Dumbledore's BFF / love interest was Grindelwald.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore let Voldemort into school.
Not great, Bob.
Kept him there for a while. And Dumbledore let Hagrid get expelled. Dumbledore doesn't have the best read on people.
No, not so much.
But Harry Potter does.
She also asks, why does Ron's skill with chess not translate to being generally clever and skilled with strategy later?
I just think that Ron has played chess for years upon years upon years upon years with his older brothers and was expected to be at the same skill level as his older brothers.
Yep.
So he's had tons of practice with that. It's like he spoke French his entire life. He'd be excellent at French.
It's like book smart versus street smart. Just because you're book smart doesn't mean you're street smart. Agreed. And vice versa. And they don't always equal.
I picture the Weasley family having like chess tournaments.
Oh, totally.
Especially on the holidays.
Yeah.
Oh. Where it's like, that's what you do.
That's what you do. And you get.
And that's why at Christmas holiday, he took it out. Like, this is the tradition. Yeah,
this is what we do. And the winner gets like extra dessert.
Yes.
Or maybe you get like the extra sweater.
Or you get a bed. Because I don't know if they had enough beds for all those. When all the boys come home from break.
Or you get blankets. No, you got a bed, but I doubt that you got blankets.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like they would have blankets, but not enough beds. Like someone would have to crash on the couch.
That might be the case. Maybe you get to come out of like the convertible bed to like a normal bed.
Like Charlie's like, I'm totally going to win it. And Ron's going to have to sleep in the crib.
Yeah.
Ginny's old crib.
All scrunched up.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Love it. Love it. All right. Ellen says, do you think Quirrell would have inspired Harry to do Doc Ott's if he wasn't being possessed by Voldemort?
I don't. I don't think Harry would have wanted to learn the dark arts because of what happened to his parents. I don't think he would have been inspired to be like, I want to learn them all.
But like, there is part of Voldemort that's in Harry. So is there something that would push him there?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Because, you know, like, Voldemort does have an effect on Harry. We see that in Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a valid argument to be made there that he could be pushed that way.
I mean, but let's be real. When he leads Dumbledore's army, it's with knowledge of the Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Sure.
So, yes.
Out of all the Defense Against the Dark Arts teachers, Rebecca asks, who would you be, Mary?
I would be Lupin.
You absolutely would be Lupin. Oh my God.
Here's
the chocolate. Go get them.
Ridiculous.
Leave me alone at night.
And I know who you'd be.
Yeah,
Snape.
You don't even have to say it. You don't even have to say it. Let's see. You got any more?
Hillary says, if Dumbledore did know and was preparing Harry, do you think he instructed the professors in what tasks to create so that it would be difficult enough to stop an intruder, but simple enough for an 11-year-old?
Well, see, that's hard because how would it be simple enough for an 11-year-old to figure out, but hard enough for someone who's an intruder to not be able to get in?
That's one of the problems is that, like, 11-year-olds figure this out.
I don't think that he instructed them how to do it, but I feel like he knew what to do. Because remember, Hagrid says, only me and Dumbledore know how to get past Fluffy. So Dumbledore's got to get the in. So he knows what to do so that he can potentially prep
Yes.
Potentially prep Harry.
Okay.
For the things that he needs.
Because I feel like any of the professors, once they understood how to get past Fluffy, could have finished everything else.
That's potential.
Snape definitely could have gotten through all of that, aside from Fluffy.
Do you think that Dumbledore, Patricia asks, knows that Quirrell is possessed by Voldemort?
He has his inklings.
Yes, I think he does know. I think he has suspicions. Whether or not he knows that Voldemort is on Quirrell's head, I think that's yet to be seen or yet to be talked about, but he certainly knows that something's up with Quirrell.
And Melissa Carolyn says a TikTok dance nowadays would be simple for an 11-year-old, but not for an adult. So who knows? Maybe the tasks were relative to TikTok.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
No, I can't.
Whatever.
No. No thanks.
Macarena was pretty much all I
can do. I can't do the floss. Never mind TikTok dance.
Oh, you definitely can't do the floss.
Yeah, no.
Well, on that note, friends, we are going to wrap things up for this, the 16th chapter, the second to last, the penultimate, if you may, of the chapters. And then next episode is going to be chapter 17, The Man with Two Faces, where we will cover that chapter. We will not be doing a recap of the entire book next episode. Next episode, we'll just focus just on that chapter. Yes. And then we will do a book recap a week from now.
Or a mailbag. Yeah. I kind of like the idea of a mailbag
we'll
more than a book
out.
Recap.
We're going to figure that out.
Because if somebody wants to do a book recap, just listen to the damn podcast. Oh, sorry. Listen to the podcast.
You have so much editing to do.
I know. I messed that up.
You're not even going to do it because I know you. You have to fix that first one though.
I will. Thank I definitely you. Will. All right. Then we're going to do the movie.
Fun question. What? If you are listening or watching and you do have youngsters who like Harry Potter and who listen to this podcast, if you do think anything needs to be tweaked a little bit in regards to our language, let us know. We're, of course, going to continue to talk about the themes, talk about the fact that someone really bad is trying to kill little kids. But
yeah, like there are certain things you can't avoid.
But if there are certain things that you're like, oh, I can't let my kid listen to this anymore, let us know. Because we are trying to make sure that this is family friendly, as we do appreciate that families are reading the Potter series together, especially now in 2020.
Sure. All right. You ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to this, the latest episode of the Potterverse. You can, of course, support the show by going to jointhenerdclan.com for as little as $2 a month. Your help contribute to make sure this is all possible. It does take a lot to run the studio, the websites, and all of the things considered. So thank you all so much for those of you who are patrons at jointhenerdclan.com. And if you want to join, that's all you need to do is head to that website.
And thank you for all the reviews, by the way. We put out a call to action there, and we got 7 reviews in one day for everybody. So, but for everybody between number 50 and number 60, if you provide us a written review, one person in number between number 50 and 60 will get one item of their choice from the Mary and Blake store. Who knows? Maybe it might be the Dumbledore thing.
Who knows?
Oh,
yes.
By the way.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
What?
Oh, God, no. Nope, this is not going to work.
Okay. Wait, are we talking still? What's going on?
Yeah, oh no.
You know the bed feels warmer.
You talk
sleeping here. Oh no, you gotta hear it. You gotta hear it.
You know I dream in color.
Oh yeah.
This is how we're closing out this show.
This is how we're closing out this show.
Yes.
Hold on, let's let it ride.
Facebook's going to kick us off if we keep doing this, and I talk over it. Facebook, I do not own the music rights. I promise. Don't come after me, Mark.
Oh, here it comes. Here's the big part.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. What steps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over. Cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you.
What? Stronger. That's right. That's right, Harry Potter. Little 11-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah.
His voice hasn't even changed yet. Doesn't even have hair under his armpits.
No.
But you got this. So it doesn't kill you, makes you stronger, Harry. Drink that possible poison. Get stuck in those vines. Possibly be knocked out by a queen without a face and a chessboard. Maybe meet Voldemort. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
If it doesn't kill you, though, man, I'll tell you what.
It'll make you stronger.
That's right.
Kelly told me.
All right. So on that note, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
And Mischief. Oh,
I was going to say, maybe I'll get some cake. I don't know. We got to celebrate Dumbledore.
I didn't know there was going to be cake tonight.
Well, we didn't. I didn't know there was going to be cake. Hold on.
All right. Mischief managed.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.